Breakfast with David.
Kaya FM.
95.9.
Yesterday, if you were listening to the show, right at the end, we had a woman who actually came off the street. She just came and knocked on our door. She was an asylum seeker from the DRC, from Kinshasa. She had her papers in order, and she has to renew her papers at the Department of Home Affairs at the Marabastad office every 6 months. Previously, it was every year, and now every 6 months, she has to go there and renew her papers. And what so angered her, and she got more and more angry as she sat and chatted to me, was that she keeps having to pay a bribe. And we listened to her complaint. She said she hadn't taken it up with any officials, and I thought that really that's your first port of call. Because if you go to any Home Affairs office, you will see the big signs urging you to contact the anti-corruption line. She hadn't done anything of that, and what she had done is she'd come to speak to us. So we said we'd go to the Department of Home Affairs and get some answers. And I tell you what, they've answered in quite spectacular fashion, because it's not just a statement that they put out. They have brought the Director General here into the studio, Kgoseli Apleni, to have a chat to us. So, DG, it's good to have you. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, morning to David and as well as to the listeners.
I tell you, the first sign I'm getting is that you're taking this very seriously. This is not just a statement saying, well, we'll investigate the claims and allegations. The fact that you've taken time to come here, I do appreciate. That situation itself at Marabastad, there is an accusation there that bribes are being solicited and are being received at Marabastad. What can you do about that?
Yes, yeah. No, firstly, we changed that place. Now it's no longer Marabastad.
Okay.
Yes, it is a Desmond Tutu Refugee Reception Office. Why did we change the name? It's not just the name. As you know, that the Archbishop is about human rights. So we wanted to project that place as the father of this country, who is Desmond Tutu. Therefore, we, in our mind, is to say it must service people with the dignity which they deserve.
Yes.
What did we do? We changed the operations at Desmond Tutu. It's no longer a paper process, because before it was more paper, which was made people now to thrive on these issues of corruption. We put systems there. If you go to Desmond Tutu, you get there and make your appointment on a system. We take your fingerprint on day one, you open the gates through your system, and everything is automated. All that we're doing it to curb the problem of corruption.
Mm-hmm.
That's why now, as you said, we're taking this matter very seriously. We've got, yes, the hotline numbers, but we're the only department in this country where my number, if you go to any office of Home Affairs, you will find my face and my number to the public and the DDGs. Why do we do that? We are saying, if the hotline does not help you, if the officials does not help you, why can't you call me and say, DG, this is what is happening in your department, because we are serious about the issues of corruption. So my number, I can give it to you now. It's not something which is hidden. It's not my number. It's a number which I'm given as a tool to do the work in Home Affairs.
Right, because I'm wondering now if, you know, you've got your own job to do, because you will be besieged with people wanting their ID books speeded up, the processes all speeded up, the queues are too long. You, as the DG, you can't handle that. You've got to delegate that to other people.
No, let me tell you why we are taking those calls. You know, doctors, they use that
the stethoscope.
So for us, when we have got those numbers out there, we use it as a stethoscope, because once I get too many calls about passports, it tells me, hey, there's a problem on the passport. Then we go to the passport unit. Why people are calling me about passports? Then if people are calling me about a birth certificates, then I know, but there's a problem. So we get those calls. It makes us to measure where our problems lie. You remember that in 2008, there was a person who killed himself because he couldn't get services in Home Affairs.
I remember it well.
That's why now we said, why can't we put our numbers there so that people, for they can say, for my last resort, let me call this number and see whether they're going to be serviced or not. I'm sure the members of the public, a lot of them, can attest and say, yes, I had this problem. I called the DG's number or I called this number. I was able to be helped because of that. So that's why we did that.
Well, I'm glad you raised the issue of the person who couldn't get documented. Yes. He couldn't get a job. His life came to an end because he didn't have anything.
Yes.
That must be the lowest point of Home Affairs. Yes. Now, obviously, you weren't involved at that time.
Yes.
But as a department, you can realize we cannot slump any lower than that. We've got to increase. I think anybody who's been to Home Affairs recently will say, if they haven't had experience in the past, which I have had, of massive queues, of inefficiencies, of incompetence, and of bribe taking, that things have dramatically changed. It's not to say it's completely fixed.
No. Yes. You know, what was the answer for us? We believed that modernization will be an answer for us. That's why now, David, you know now that we're even working with the banks, whereby we're saying people must be able to apply online. We know you are busy. Why should you go to Home Affairs and stand in a queue?
Yes.
Apply online and be able now to go to a bank of your choice and get your document. And we even want to take that process even further to say, if you have come and apply, why must you go back to Home Affairs and collect? Why can't I deliver a document to you? Yes, of course, it will have a cost.
Yes, but time is money.
Yes, but time, yes.
If I'm going to stand in a queue for 2 hours, which I can tell you I had to do, my process to go and apply for the passport renewal was 40 minutes.
Yes.
My time to collect my passport was 2 hours.
Yes.
And I've got to say, hold on, one is a mere thing of saying my passport's behind the counter. Why is that 2 hours? And the more intricate one of photographs, fingerprinting, all of that, biometrics, was so quick.
Quick, yeah.
I could not understand the discrepancy there.
You see, David, I mean, from my rural areas where I come from, when I go there during the festive, I'm sitting there, whether it's in a crawl or whatever, I'm trying to look for a person who does not have a cell phone. I'm not looking for a person who's got a cell phone. So South Africans, all of them have got cell phones. Now the question is, for Home Affairs, why can't we use apps?
Yes.
Which are in the cell phones, and then when you come and collect, I bring a cell phone, you put your fingerprint, it makes sure that the person who's collecting this passport is the same with the one who was applying for a passport. That's why we're looking to go forward, so that now we are the Home Affairs of today.
You're making me feel better about Home Affairs, I've got to tell you, DG. We'll continue this discussion. It's the Director General of the Department of Home Affairs, Guselia Pleni, is our guest in the studio.
Home of the Afropolitan.
On Kai FM, I'm David O'Sullivan. This is Breakfast with David. We're having a conversation with the Home Affairs Director General, Guselia Pleni. This is in reaction to a woman who came into the studio yesterday. She basically just came off the street. She is so angry about the way in which bribes are being solicited by Home Affairs officials whenever she applies for a renewal of her asylum papers. And we put this to Home Affairs and said, we're going to be raising this issue. Would you care to respond? Normally, government departments will respond to these things. They will put their spokesperson on air. They will send us a statement, something like that. Home Affairs have gone one better. They've actually sent the Director General himself, Guselia Pleni, to the studio to chat to us. If you've just joined us, he was giving us a bit of background on how they're cleaning up the corruption that has occurred, the issues that were occurring for the asylum seekers. DG, you were saying that you've changed the name of that department or that office. It's no longer Barabastad, it's the Desmond Tutu Refugee Center now.
Yes,
and the connotations there. Are you satisfied, just to go back to this issue of corruption, the soliciting of bribes, are you satisfied that at that center you have eradicated the problem?
Let's deal with the person who's renewing. That's why I'll be interested to understand with this lady, where is this bribe coming in? Because if you go to Desmond Tutu, because of the queues which we had there and the clogging before, when you renew your asylum seeker to go inside and you meet with the RSDO, but we changed that. You do that in a machine. You go in there. If your decision is not yet out, you put your finger, you just get an automatic extension and you go out. So where is this bribe can be sorted out in that process? Because you don't meet, because we are trying in Home Affairs to remove the interface between people and the clients. Because once there is that, we've got a problem. Let's take one at problems with our permits. That's why we appointed that company called VFS, so that now you apply online for your permit, and then now you go to that company, no Home Affairs. Mm-hmm. So that there's no interface. So we did the same thing at Desmond Tutu. But I know that outside our premises, bribes are happening there. So it will be interesting with this lady to say, who sourced you a bribe when you were going for renewal? Because when you renew, you don't meet with anybody. You just go in, you put your finger, you get your thing on the system, and you go out. So how can you get a bribe in that process?
Well, we will put you in contact with her so that she is able to explain the situation. Are you concerned about any other complaints of corruption, levels of corruption, bribe, the soliciting of bribes, the payment of bribes in other areas of Home Affairs?
We are. In fact, David, we understand as a department, firstly, why we are so posed in this is that services of Home Affairs, you can't get them anywhere else. If you are looking for a birth certificate, that birth certificate must be issued by Home Affairs. It can't be issued by anybody else. That makes now that the issues of corruption arrive.
Yes.
Hence now we started by establishing the whole branch, which is counter corruption, is looking at the issues of corruption so that we are able to deal with these matters. Then now for us to move into that is to come to these online processes so that now you are able to apply for a thing online, you don't meet with people and all that. So corruption is a matter which we deal with it at Home Affairs. That's why we encourage people that though we've got our own hotline as a department, but there's a public service hotline so that now you know that there is no possibility that something can squash your issue. Then you go there so that we make sure that we deal with these issues. Also, we do a lot of arrest, and which we do it in public and say, this is the staff member. We arrest them, and the other one was also involved, because unfortunately these corrupt things, it takes two to the tango.
Yes.
So those are the major issues which we face, but we deal with all of that.
I'm happy to hear of the arrest, EG, but are you getting prosecutions? Do people pay? Are there consequences for their actions? Because my concern is that very publicly we see the arrest taking place, then the spotlight is off and the investigation peters out and nothing actually happens. So people realize, well, all I'm going to do, if I take the bribe, I run the risk of being arrested temporarily.
Yes. You know, what we did in that regard is that in our act, we amended it. Maybe in 2014-15, there was an issue. We can go to the Civic Act and Immigration Act.
Yes.
It was very difficult to us when we're explaining to parliamentarians to say, you get involved into the issues of marriages, of convenience, you get into this, it must be up to 15 years. In the act, so that because what was happening before, as you said, people are just getting slipped in the wrist to say, why did you do this? No, we must be able to have these penalties very stringent and high. But as you said, what we must deal with it now is to come back and say, tell us how many cases did we have in the previous year, how many convictions did we have, and what were the results of that? How many people are sitting in jail because of those issues? That's why now Home Affairs, if you remember before, Home Affairs was in a GNA cluster, government works on clusters. Then we were shifted from the GNA cluster to the justice cluster.
Yes.
In the justice cluster now is Home Affairs, is justice, is SARS, is police, is corrections, so that now these departments who are about the security of the state, we are working together so that now we're able to close the loop, so that now we talk to justice to brief the magistrates that these are not just small crimes. Mm. It is not a small crime to be involved in issues of corruption like this.
Are you able, I don't know now off the top of your head, but if you're able to get your people to send us the numbers so we can have a look at who the prosecution, successful prosecutions.
No, we'll do so, as I'm saying that.
Top of sitting at the back goes, yes, we can do that. Okay. Yes, yeah. Well, I think what we need to do is give people some kind of indication that if you're going to use these hotline numbers, and I know that they are prominently displayed at certainly at the Home Affairs office that I use, Randburg, there they are. But I look at it and think, I wonder what would happen. Yes. But is it a phone call and it goes to nothing? We need people to have confidence that something will happen as a result of that. That's DG, I need you to put your headphones on there. I've got the Home Affairs Director General, Kuselia Pleni, with us in the studio. It's prompted Alfred to give us a call. Alfred, good morning to you.
Morning, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
I'm fine.
You've got an issue you'd like to raise.
Yeah, I've got an issue. My son applied in ID while making his matric. He passes matric, got the ID, passes matric. And after all, when he wanted to go and change the ID and make a card, he was told that he does not have fingerprints. Then we submitted, they said they need a supportive document.
Yes.
We submitted a supportive document, which is a card of the clinic, and a birth certificate, my ID in copy, and her mother's ID copy. But still, they say give supportive document. We don't know which kind of supportive document that we need support to submit.
So there's a bureaucratic problem. They require, have they now got his fingerprints? Physically, has he handed in fingerprints? Has he done those biometrics?
He went there and made that fingerprint when he supported this supportive document. But still, when the message comes, said they need supportive document. Which kind of supportive document that they need?
That's and they're not, are they not specifying? Are they not giving you clarity on what supporting documents are required?
They're not, because the supportive document that we know is this one of Paraguana Clinic and a birth certificate. That's what we know. And the parents' document, ID numbers.
So they're not giving you any assistance. You've handed in all the documents you think are relevant,
we've handed all those documents. The message that we get still provides some supportive documents.
Okay. I know this is something. How do you want to handle this, DG?
It's simple, David. Let me give you my number, because now if you say, they just say supporting document, I won't know. Why don't you call me at 082-449-7535?
082-449-7535.
7535. And the best for you is to send me an SMS with your query and the ID number, so that we are able now, and your number in the message, so that when we refer it to the unit, they are able to contact you, because we wanted to know what is this document which says outstanding.
Okay. Alfred, you got the number there, 082-449-7535. So send an SMS to that number, have your ID number on it, and your name as well, and then obviously the DG will remember it was Alfred Motau who called in. Okay. Good luck with that. And Pielo has also given us a call. Pielo from Tsakani, welcome to you, Pielo.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, man. My question here is regarding changing of surname.
Yes.
I went to Home Affairs. I wanted to change my son's surname to my surname because he's using the mother's surname. Apparently, I was told that I need to pay 2,070 rand. Is it true?
2,000 rand to change a child's surname.
Yeah, firstly.
Yes. And then another thing, I was told that I need to take my child to a certain lab, so that they can take a DNA test, then they will be able to change my son's name.
Okay.
Firstly, let me deal with the amount. Prices of Home Affairs in any office, they are there in a board.
Okay.
So you should be able to go there and say, no, if it's 2,000, it is there, then it's what Home Affairs charges. But it's not that a person just said, what is the amount?
Yeah, yes. So, but then when did it change? Because last year it was not 2,000.
No, what I'm saying too is that you go to the board in Home Affairs and say this amount is 200. Why do you say it's 2,000? It's published.
It didn't get changed, Pielo. I think somebody's looking to extort you. So the suggestion from the DG is to go to the board, see what number the price is. And if somebody says to you, by the way, it's 2,000, then you know you've got a problem which you can raise.
Then for the DNA test.
Yes, well, I have to come to it.
Okay, let's do the DNA test.
Yeah, you remember that now. You can't look at a person on their face and say you are a father of the child.
Yes.
That's why now if people are married first, then you know these people are married. Then if they've got a child, then it means now this one is the father. But if you are not married with a woman, anyone can walk with a child with a woman and say, this is my child. How will we know as Home Affairs? We cannot. More special that now we are changing the surname. So what we need to do now is to say, scientifically, the only thing which can prove that you are the father of this child is to do a DNA test. And then once that has happened, then Home Affairs will change the child's name, because we can't let children get lost. We know people are buying children, yes, are trafficking children. So that is the reason. You will know that you are a father, but Home Affairs official can't look you at your face and say, hey, this is your child.
I'm going to take a quick call here, and I do need to ask you about the e-passport. Gugu has called in as well, our last call on this matter. Morning, Gugu.
Morning, how are you?
Well, how are you?
I'm not good. Sometime last year, I went to Germiston to get a birth certificate and breached the birth certificate for my son. I couldn't get it. It's over a year because I need to pay a bribe for about 5,000 rand to get it immediately. I'm not sure why I have to do that. Now we need to travel overseas. We can't because we don't have a birth certificate.
Well, the answer is you don't have to pay a bribe. You shouldn't pay a bribe is the straight answer on that one, Gugu.
So what do I do now? Because now I'm actually considering it because I need my son and birth certificate.
Yes, okay.
I change on the system. Does anyone change? Everything was done, but it's hard to get the copy.
Okay, Gugu, do you stay listening on the line to the DG's answer. Right, what should Gugu do?
The first interesting which night doesn't take us to say, but who did you contact?
Well, who did you?
I went to Germiston Home Affairs.
Okay, and
I'm saying because there are numbers there where you can call a hotline. My numbers.
No, there's no number that I've called. I've been going there in person 4 times this year already.
But Gugu, if you go to Home Affairs, you will see all the signs saying here is the hotline number.
Yes.
Did you phone any of those hotline numbers?
No, I didn't.
So you haven't reported
it. Anybody.
Okay, now one of the first things we need you to do is report this, Gugu. But now you also have the DG's number, and I want you to call this number. Have you got a pen and paper there?
I'm driving. Can I call the studio in the next 10 minutes?
You call the studio in the next 10 minutes, and Shwe Shwe will give you the number. And that's what you need to do. You've got to call the DG, okay?
I was attending to
so. I think the first thing is for anybody else who's got a similar situation, report it.
Report it.
Report it.
I know it.
Yeah, yeah, report it and then keep this number. Everybody write this number down, 082-449-7535, if you've got issues that you need to raise. Kwame, will you allow me one more question? Kwame's allowing me one more. He's keeping a tight rein on my time here. Okay. You spoke about the e-passport.
Yes.
And that's going to allow people much easier access in and out of countries. Just explain in a nutshell, DG, this is.
Yeah, no, to improve, to facilitate the traveling of the people in and out of South Africa. But let's start with the South Africans. As you know, now that we've got a smart card, which in it has got a chip, now we are busy now looking at coming up with the e-passport. What e-passport will help us with is that it will be keeping now your information now in the chip inside the passport. Then in our ports of entry, we'll have what we call now an e-gates. So the e-gates will allow you now that when you do the checking, you just take your passport, you go into the gate, that gate automatically opens for you because we'll register certain people as trusted travelers. So that if now you are always traveling in and out of South Africa, then we know that you are a traveler. Why must we waste your time now to go? Because what identifies you uniquely a person from one another is not looking at your face, it's your biometric.
Yes.
So it means now if in that chip I've got your photo, I've got your biometric, you take it, you put it there, and then you put your finger as well. It says this person who's carrying this passport is the rightful owner. I want that gate to open for you so that when you get into the airport, you must take seconds to move in and move out. Yes, then the other, so that the immigration officers which we have must deal with the other people, because now we cannot have the resources and the space to deal. I can't appoint 1,000 immigration officers at one time, because I won't have a space. But technology must help us to say, where we don't have people, use technology, and it's more secure than anything else.
I love the idea. You get off the plane, you're tired, you're worn out, and then you've got to stand in the long queue to be able to just walk through. Please tell your colleagues in Lagos to do that as well. Okay. We want that to happen there as well.
Yeah, one continent. Thanks.
DG, I'd really appreciate your time. I'd like to establish a relationship where more often we get you into the studio, please, talk about issues of home affairs. I'm glad we are able to deal with some calls. Thank you for this number. I'm going to give it out one more time. 082-449-7535. Issues of home affairs problems. You phone that number. Send an SMS. SMS that. And thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much to you and as well as to the listeners.
Thank you. That is the Home Affairs Director General, Mkoseli Apleni.
Breakfast with David.